Hey, this is Evan Phillips from Anchorage, Alaska. You're listening to The Fern Line. It's great to be back with you for a special bonus episode of The Fern Line. We're currently in between seasons. Right now, season 3 is scheduled to launch in early May. But as usual, I can't seem to go beyond a month or so until I have to put out some content. So yeah, here we are. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to thank my sponsors going into season 3, the Alaska Rock Gym and the Hoarding Marmot. And I also want to thank all of you community members who are supporting the show each month on Patreon. The Fern Line is truly supported by its listeners in a way that I like to climb mountains from the ground up. If you're interested in supporting The Fern Line on Patreon, just get online and go to patreon.com/thefernline and you can sign up there. Other ways you can support the show are by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or from within your favorite podcast app. If you're on social media, you can follow The Fern Line on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you like the old-fashioned way of doing things, you can just tell someone directly. Tell your friends, your coworkers, your climbing partners, people you think might dig The Fern Line, let them know it's out there. All right, so with that, it's time to grab your favorite beverage and get cozy on your couch, camp chair, or your Southeast Alaskan glacier bivvy and settle in for this episode of The Fern Line. This time on The Fern Line, I'm checking in with the Alaska Mountain Women, an all-female group that loves human-powered expeditions in Alaska. The goal of the group is to cultivate a strong community of local women dedicated to challenging and educating themselves and others about glacial mountaineering in the big, remote mountains. In 2018, the group headed onto the Stikine Ice Cap, where they were faced with demanding conditions and a multitude of opportunities to learn new mountain skills and forge meaningful relationships. This year, they're headed into the Wrangell-St. Elias region to attempt unclimbed peaks and continue the path of learning the lessons of the big mountains. I recently got a chance to check in with four of the group members to talk about their past experiences together and what they're looking forward to in their upcoming trips. My first conversation was with team member Katie McCaffrey.
So this idea of doing yearly expeditions was started by one of the team members, Mary Giannotti, and she doesn't portray herself as a leader. She wants to think of us all as equal players on a team, but she's definitely the one who started the dream and keeps us focused and provides us with so much support. And last year, for their first trip as a group, they had someone who dropped out a few months before the trip started, and so I came in as the last member to join the trip. And so I was not involved as much of the pre-planning process in last year's trip. I joined in about 2.5 or 3 months before we left to do our trip on the Stikine Ice Field. But then as soon as we started talking about doing another trip as a group this spring. I jumped on board right away, and I've been a part of the planning process since last October.
Cool. So it sounds like that experience on the sticky ice field and being with that group of women made an impact on you.
Yeah, absolutely. My 3 years with the Outdoor Studies program at UAS and Juneau, and that was a great program for me to go through, and it introduced me to so much of the possibilities in the backcountry. But I never had a chance to be with a group that was entirely female. So being a part of this group has given me that opportunity to work with all females, but it has also given me one of my first opportunities to plan and lead an expedition, you know, as an equal member, rather than going out on an expedition as a student with an instructor who's giving us a lot of opportunities to lead along the way, but is ultimately there to fall back on. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. What's something that you've learned about yourself being a part of the group and being a part of some of these trips?
It has made me a lot more confident as a communicator. I think group dynamics are really important to me. I really love being out in the field and spending a lot of time with the team. You know, there's so many ranges of situations that you're put in, from being out having fun, and then, you know, can easily be in a lot of situations that are really not so fun. But finding camaraderie and a sense of collaboration is really important to me. And I think being with a group of women has taught me that it's really okay and good for me to speak out about my comfort level and let everyone know if I'm not confident or comfortable in a certain situation. I think in the past, it's easy to just ride with the flow and let other people make decisions, but this has really given me an opportunity to speak my mind and be with a group of people that really want me to be comfortable and want me to have my say.
That's awesome. Since we're talking about that, I mean, is there a specific instance or an experience that comes to mind for you where I guess you had to kind of practice that skill?
Yeah, absolutely. For last year's trip to the Stikine Ice Field, we spent what was supposed to be 2 weeks on the Stikine Ice Field just outside of Petersburg, but we had poor weather conditions that didn't allow us to fly out into the ice field until about 4 days after sitting in Petersburg waiting for a weather window. And once we were in the helicopter, we realized that the weather conditions over the ice field were even worse than what we were experiencing in Petersburg. And so we had to land in an unplanned area of the East Fork of the Patterson Glacier. So we weren't on our designated route for the trip. And we realized the next morning when it cleared up a bit that we were at the base of a ice field with a lot of exposed Siroc walls and potential avalanche danger. And so we spent 3 days trying to cross this ice field, and we were strategic about it. We were a group of six for this expedition last year, and we kept two people in camp with a spot and an inReach so that they could make emergency calls if they needed to, and they were within sight of the team that was trying to find a route on the icefall to get us up higher up onto the glacier where we could potentially connect with the ice field. We had four people each day who were trying to find a route through the icefall. And we saw two different areas that we thought would connect us up above the icefall. But every day that we were out there, we noticed more and more gaping crevasses, lots of unstable siracs. And on the final day, we had some really beautiful bluebird weather, but it triggered some avalanches that we ended up being well clear of. But it was all pretty unnerving. And
right.
We just had a lot of communications and a lot of checks with each other. And I think we all just gave each other a lot of opportunities to communicate and talk through a plan that we all were a part of.
Right. Just so I have a little bit of background information on the trip last year, what was your objective going into that trip?
So we had a 21.5-mile route planned up higher on the Stikine Ice Field with the goal of climbing two unclimbed peaks. but we ended up about 7 miles west of that intended route.
Right. Are you thinking about maybe wanting to go back in there at some point in time?
Yeah, we actually talked about potentially going back into that area this year as well.
Yeah.
But that area does not have very much beta. We ended up talking with a great team who had been there in 2016, and they gave us great information from their time in the area, but they weren't quite the same area of the Stikine that we were intending to go to.
Right.
And then our pilot gave us a lot of information as well, but he doesn't have the same perspective as us. We wanted information on mountaineering objectives, but
right.
His time in the area has been flying. So we chose to do a trip in the Wrangell St. Elias this April, partly because two of our team members have had both personal and professional trips in the area and have always wanted to go back to do more. So I'm excited to do this trip. It'll be very different. I think it'll be a different snowpack, but I would love to go back to the Stikine someday.
Cool. Are you able to talk about this trip that's coming up? Like, I know some people kind of hold their objectives close to them, but are you able to share about that?
Sure. We're planning a ski mountaineering trip. We're going to be attempting 2 unnamed peaks, and we're going to be on the southeast fork of the Chisana Glacier. So that's between McCarthy and Nabesna, a little bit east of the middle point between McCarthy and Nabesna.
Wow.
And that'll be in the Wrangell St. Elias National Park and Preserve.
What are you most looking forward to about your upcoming trip in April?
Well, we're a group of 8 women, and we all have a passion for glaciated mountains. Really excited about the idea of being in an area that is so remote. There's definitely something romantic about that for me. But I think maybe even more than that, I'm just really excited to get out with these other women who have been great role models for me. And we're all coming from different places with different backgrounds. I know I have so much to learn from all of them. And I just finished up my degree at UAS, and so I don't have an idea of what I'll be doing next, which is really exciting. So it's fun to be going into a trip like this that can potentially open up more doors for me, get me more experience, get me more connections, and we'll see what comes next.
My next conversation was with group member Ari Clark. We talked about her time growing up in Juneau, Alaska, how she's found her niche working in the outdoor community, and of course, what her past experiences with the Alaska Mountain Women group have meant to her and what she's looking forward to this next season.
I grew up in Juneau, Alaska, and spent a lot of my childhood outside. My parents were both marine biologists, so they really emphasized playing on the beach and getting outside, going on camping trips. So I really grew up in love with the outdoors. I went to college at University of Puget Sound in Tacoma, graduated from there, and immediately started pursuing jobs in the outdoors. I got a biochemistry degree in college and didn't want to work in a laboratory for the rest of my life. So I started working various outdoor jobs. I was at a kayak shop for a little bit and started working at Stevens Pass Ski Resort, a little bit east of Seattle, and loved it there. So I've returned there for 3 years and just started my first year on ski patrol this winter at Stevens Pass. And I've worked last summer as a sea kayaking guide, and I'm going back to that job in Juneau. So I've kind of been moving back and forth between Stevens Pass and Juneau for the last couple seasons, but both are awesome hubs for the outdoors and different outdoor activities. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a cool niche carved out for yourself right now with, you know, being able to work, but also being able to do things that are fulfilling for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I think the balance is really important to enjoy what you're doing for, you know, 40 hours a week. That's what work ends up being most of your life, I feel like. So I try and find jobs that fulfill, yeah, hobbies as well.
Awesome. So can you tell me how you became involved with the Alaska Mountain Women?
Yeah, so we kind of started talking about a trip last fall. So it would have been the fall of 2017. And Mary Giannotti was kind of sent out a mass email to a bunch of gals that she knows in the outdoors that are into mountaineering or interested in getting into mountaineering, and tried piecing a group together to do a new and different expedition to an area that not many people have been to before. So I was immediately interested, and with my seasonal jobs, it seemed like I could definitely fit that in the spring in between ski season and kayaking season. So I signed up in fall of 2017, and we started planning with a group of six gals for the Stikeen ice field expedition that we did in May of 2018. So we spent, I don't know, 8 months or so planning the trip and applying for grants, writing a blog, trying to fundraise and tell our story of trying to plan this expedition and getting our skills really honed in for the trip.
I've heard that the Stikeen trip was really awesome and challenging, pretty wild glacier travel.
Yeah, it was.
Can you kind of talk a little bit about what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, it was the first kind of extended expedition I'd done without a true instructor and with just a group of, yeah, just for a fun trip. So it was that in itself, there's a lot of responsibility on us to make the decisions as a group. And that in itself was a big learning experience for me, having a say in the decisions instead of just following someone who knows, has more knowledge than me in the that kind of wilderness. But the trip kind of started off, kind of threw us off because we'd been planning for so long. Our weather window was just not, weather was not cooperating with our plans. And so not only did we get delayed on leaving, but we got dropped off at a lower elevation than we'd planned. So we got dropped off below this ice fall that our helicopter pilot had seen before, and he wasn't sure it was passable, but he said that he could definitely drop us off. The kind of cloud line was above this ice fall. So we got off to a start of just not really knowing what we were getting into from the get-go. It was not an area that we'd been studying for the last several months. So yeah, it was a lot of learning just how to make the best of what you've got. And we had a great time trying to make our way through this ice fall. We never made it through, but we spent several days just honing in our icefall navigation skills and exploring a valley that we weren't sure anyone had ever camped in or explored before. And yeah, the last day we were there, there was really high avalanche activity. And that was a big eye-opener too, in terms of not letting your objective kind of blind you for what the conditions are and the power of nature. You know, we listened to what nature was saying and didn't go in an unsafe area, but it would have been really easy to make the wrong decision in that situation because we were too objective oriented. So yeah, a lot of big lessons were learned.
Yeah, it sounds like one of the recurring themes so far in my conversations that I'm having is that, like, everybody's really stoked about being in a situation where they get to kind of make decisions on their own, but as a team. which is mm-hmm. which is really cool. And but on the flip side, like, I know that there can be some challenges to, like, always having to make group decisions as well. And have you experienced, like, any challenges or things that are hard sometimes about having to make decisions in a group dynamic setting like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Not so much in that trip. I think we all went in with a very similar mindset, which was an awesome thing to have. None of us were, we were more out there for doing something new and having a good time and learning new skills, meeting great mentors or mentees along the way, and not so much just set on making these first ascents. So I think going into it, it's important to kind of talk through your goals of the trip and make sure everyone's aligned with those, because I've definitely gone on, you know, backcountry ski trips or other, I mean, even just day hikes, you know, if the weather turns and someone is absolutely set on making it to where you've planned on making it,
right,
but something kind of gets in the way of that, it can be tough to try and make a group decision if people have different objectives from the get-go.
Right.
And I've definitely been that person too, where I'm really motivated. You know, I've really set my mind on doing something and it's hard to turn around and let that go.
Right.
But yeah, I've definitely been in both sides of that situation.
So you're going to be going on the trip to the Wrangles in this spring?
Yeah, I am.
Can you talk about what that process has been like as far as being part of the planning to go into that, and maybe just talk about that trip a little bit?
This trip coming up is it's our second big trip that we've been kind of going through the same planning process for several months. A little bit different group of people this time around. There's definitely a few of us returning, which is really awesome that we get to share everything that we learned on the previous trip with some new folks. But yeah, we're going to the Wrangell St. Elias area to attempt to first all-female ascents of peaks in that area. A couple of the other members definitely have more experience with that region. And then there's a couple people that are pretty new to mountaineering. So we've got a really wide range this year of skill sets and people coming from different backgrounds, which I think will be really helpful when making decisions to have. I think that's another important part of that decision-making and group decision-making is to have kind of a wide range of people, those that are really experienced and those that are asking a lot of questions about decisions, because it's maybe not obvious what the answer is to them. Yeah, it's coming up here shortly. We're less than 2 months away from leaving for that trip. So
yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's all coming together here pretty quick.
Cool. One of the last things I wanted to touch on. So if there were women who wanted to get involved in this group, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, so we've got a couple different social media outlets right now. We've got a blog, an Instagram, and a Facebook page. Following those and just reaching out to either group members or other women that are following and involved in those pages, getting together for, you know, our skills practices are happening throughout the months leading up to our trips. And it's great going out with people to practice those skills, whether it be evaluating avalanche hazard, practicing crevasse rescue, practicing avalanche rescue. All those things are great to have people to go out with. And I personally think one of the best ways to practice and to get better at those skills is to teach them to someone else who's learning. So following our group, that's definitely a great way to get involved and put your name in the hat for the next expedition.
I next got to catch up with Sophia Walling-Bell from Fairbanks, Alaska. She's currently hanging out down in Salt Lake City, hanging out with friends, doing a lot of skiing, and spending time in the desert. This upcoming trip to the Wrangell St. Elias will be Sophia's first excursion with the Alaska Mountain Women Group. I wanted to check in with her to see how she got hooked up with the group and to talk about what she's looking forward to about her upcoming trip.
So I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, born and raised there, and I just grew up in a family that did a lot of things outside year-round. You know, my parents really prioritized getting my sister and I out in the summers hiking and camping and canoeing, and in the winters doing a lot of cross-country skiing. And so I think I just always grew up spending a lot of time outside, and I did not appreciate it as much when I was younger, but I definitely do now. And I think it just allowed me to gain a lot of small skills throughout the years for how to live outside and spend time in nature, and also just to kind of find the connectedness with the land in different places. But I feel like it was really when I was kind of graduating from high school that I sought out spending more time in nature versus it being something that my parents just were doing and mm-hmm. I was involved in. So I think it was kind of around 18 that I started wanting to spend more time in mountains, wanting to learn more skills like rock climbing or more backcountry skiing type of activities. And yeah, so I think I've been kind of doing that for about 5 years now.
Cool.
Yeah. So the Alaska Mountain Woman connection is a little bit random. So Katie McCaffrey and I, who I think you recently talked with, mm-hmm. she and I grew up together in Fairbanks. So we've been friends for a while, but kind of in a funny way, we separated to go to college and both developed more of an appreciation for outdoor places and for mountains and for expedition kind of trips on our own individually.
Cool.
And then kind of reconnected and realized that we had both been following that same trajectory and we're like, oh, we should do some trips together. But you know, she's been in Juneau and I've been in Fairbanks. So it's been hard to coordinate. So she was actually the one who told me about Alaska Mountain Woman. I believe she mentioned it to me last year when they were preparing for their trip on the Stikeen, but it was this fall when she just included me in like a Facebook Messenger group. Essentially, I found out that they were planning to do another trip this spring, and she just said like, "Hey, if you're interested, this is happening. Check it out." And so I did, and Mary got back to me. So it was like kind of random and last minute. But yeah, I'm really excited. And I'm excited to finally get to spend some time with Katie on a trip like this because we've been talking about it for so long.
Right. I mean, I've talked to some of the other members about this trip upcoming in the Wrangells, and we haven't talked, you know, about a ton of specifics about what the objectives are. I was curious, like, what are you most looking forward to about this trip, specifically doing the trip with the Alaska Mountain Women Group?
I think that doing a trip with Alaska Mountain Women is going to be a really cool experience. I've never done an all-female trip either.
Cool.
And I'm someone who tends to have just a lot of male friends. And so I'm really excited to see what the dynamic is like to be around all women.
Right.
Especially in terms of communication and education while we're out there. You know, keeping everyone in the loop and group dynamics and just kind of getting everyone's input when making decisions and things like that. I'm excited to be with other women who know more than me, who can teach me, and also to be able to help teach the things that I know as well. Kind of trying to cultivate that community of everyone being able to share the knowledge they have.
Do you have any fears going into this trip?
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. I think partially because it's a fly-in trip, it makes it harder to leave if we need to. So that's something that, you know, we're so dependent on weather and then on pilots being able to get us in and out. So that makes me a little bit nervous. I'm nervous about getting stuck in like a big storm and just like having to shovel for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
That sounds unfun.
Yeah.
you know, I'm nervous about the things that one might normally be nervous of, right? Like falling in a crevasse and or having my teammate fall in a crevasse and needing to really be able to get things together to pull them out. And I think part of that nervousness just comes with the fact that, you know, I've never been on a trip with any of these other women.
Right.
And I've only met three of them. So also just like group dynamics. And I think that a lot of those smaller things that are making me a little bit nervous, just like, you know, this having the skills dialed and stuff, is going to go away once we're all together on the ground together. Before the trip. So
I'm assuming that you're using your intuition, you know, making your decision to do this trip, and you must know on some level that you're going to be with a group of people that you connect with on probably various levels, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. I really believe in listening to your gut and your intuition. And that's something I try and practice just like in all aspects of my life, is to really be in tune with that level of, you know, my body. And, you know, getting out of college, I've been having a hard time committing to doing a lot of things like far in advance, because I just want the freedom to kind of be able to use that gut instinct of like, this feels right now. And so when Katie told me about this trip in the fall and I started hearing more about it and talking with some of the other members, it was this feeling of like, wow, this is something that I'm passionate enough about and interested enough in that I can commit 6 months out, which was kind of a big deal for me at the time.
What strengths do you think that you are bringing to your team on this trip?
I think I'm really good at communicating and facilitating communication between other people. And something that I try and do whenever I'm out with any group of people is just to make sure that, especially during decision making, that everyone has the chance to say something if they want. And so sometimes when I'm out with a group, if I, you know, when there's four of us or something and maybe two people are talking a lot about what the decision is, I'll specifically ask the person who's not talking, like, hey, what do you think about this? What are you feeling right now? Just because I think it's really important. Not everyone feels comfortable speaking up.
Right.
I do. I have no problem doing that. And so I like to try and open that door for people who aren't as comfortable.
Sounds like you're a good teammate.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So are you going to end up back in Fairbanks?
Oh, it's hard to say. I will be coming back in April for this trip. And then in May, I'll be in Alaska hanging out, doing some adventuring and seeing friends and stuff. And then I'll be back down here for my summer job. I'm actually not totally sure where I'm going to be for my summer job. I work as a trip leader for like high school and middle school students on like wilderness trips. And I'm not quite sure what trips I'm going to be leading this summer yet. So
awesome.
Could be anywhere around the States or internationally. So
wow.
We will see. Yeah. Cool. But Alaska, I mean, I don't think I'll ever fully leave Alaska or like stop going back there. It's definitely home on a certain level and holds a lot of special places. So I'll be back. We'll see. I would like to spend some time in Anchorage and in Girdwood as well. So there are a lot of places to explore.
My final conversation was with Mary Giannotti, the founder of the group. Mary's a professional wilderness educator who works for Knowles, and she'll be guiding her first trip on Denali this season. We talked about group dynamics, the importance of communication, and what she's hoping to learn this season in her trip to the Wrangell St. Elias.
My name's Mary, and I grew up in Juneau, and I lived
there for the first 18 years of my life, then went away for school, and then I did a lot of seasonal work in the American West, and then ended up just kind of migrating back up to Alaska and did a lot of stuff on glaciology-related research or climate change research and a lot of nonprofit work. And right now, I'm currently living in Girdwood, working for the Avalanche School, mostly doing operations, but there's a portion of my work that's also lectures and outreach, which is a good balance because it helps you, it gives you an anchor. It makes you feel a little bit more stable than just working seasonal contracts.
Right.
This weekend I found out I just got my first Denali contract. So I'm still going to the top, or leading clients there. So I'm really excited about that.
That's great.
And I'm prepping for this trip, and this time of year is always a lot of things up in the air, and I feel like they just fell into place. So that's kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that Denali trip, is that a trip that you're going to be doing for Knowles?
It's not through Knowles. It's through Alaska Mountaineering School.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And have you been on Denali before? Have you ever worked up there?
I haven't worked for them before. But honestly, I think I've waited so long to do it. I was talking to one of my friends about this, that I think it's not going to be as difficult as I first thought it was going to be, because most of the personal trips that I do are in remote places where there's not the support systems in place that there are on Denali, and they're more technical, and there's no re-rations of supplies, and my pack is going to be about the same weight. It's a good progression. I think it fell when it was supposed to fall.
Right. Plus, you're going to be having already been doing some really good training in the Wrangles before you go on Denali.
Right. Yeah. That was really serendipitous. Yeah. I was like, well, that was perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I've kind of heard through talking to some of the other group members, they've kind of alluded to you're kind of one of the anchors of the Alaska Mountain Women group. Was it initially your idea?
Yeah. I had just gotten done doing ice field research, but had a job that was pretty, very logistic, office heavy. And I had just finished that job, and I was in Juneau, and I needed that field work release, I think, or the mountain climbing release. And so I sent an email out to a bunch of my friends, and I was like, hey, I got this idea. Anyone want to take me up on this? And I felt like last year is mostly Juneau-based, because that's where I was living, and that is where Katie and Ari were also based there, too. And so when you start something, you don't really know what you're doing, and so you just kind of, jump in. And I learned a lot in the process, and I tried to get a mix of experience level, just because I think that's pretty important for both risk management reasons, and also the idea of the starting it was not just to go on a fun trip, but also to create an environment that lifts other women up and brings other women into the fold. Because I know that it can feel pretty intimidating at times, or feel like you're kind of stuck between two worlds. So that was the initial plan. And then last year we went to the Stikine ice field, and I kind of had my mind blown in ways that I wasn't expecting it would be blown. We got shut down really hard, but I think I learned so much about avalanches and spring slides and icefall navigation. And I think a huge part of mountaineering, a really important part of mountaineering, is knowing your limits and knowing when to turn around.
Right.
And knowing how to be safe in those environments. And I felt really solid because I was with a group of women that had a similar mentality, and I felt no pressure to push harder or to go farther. And I also felt like I was with a group of women too. Our knowledge base was at a spot where there's a few places where we were we could go up this route, but we shouldn't go up this route for these reasons. And we would outline all the different reasons.
Right.
And then something bad would happen on that. We'd watch a slide cover the route that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really, thanks for having my back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so you have this new trip in the Wrangles that's going to be coming up this spring. Is there anything from your perspective, does it feel different at all going into this trip as compared to the trip into the Stikine last season?
Yeah, a lot of ways it feels more secure because I know how the group, most of us are going to react in different environments because it's mostly the same group of women with two new ones that are coming on. So that's nice. And I know how all those people react in the mountains. And I know that we've already done a trip together. So I know, I guess, kind of the roles that everyone will fall into. So that's feels a lot nicer. I think just with any type of expedition planning with people who like to explore and like to wander, like it kind of dispersed and went exploring. And so reining that exploring in, and so people are a little bit more spread out this year, I guess.
Right.
And 8 people is a little bit more to manage, just from a risk management standpoint. But I think that'll be easy to solve because we'll just have 4 people go for a peak ascent at times and then just have 4 people stay at camp.
Right.
So
are you a trip leader on these trips, or are there any trip leaders within this group, or is it all... Or everybody making decisions together?
My goal is to create an environment where everyone's voice is heard. That's a big goal of mine. And what we ended up doing last year is just similar dynamic where we'd have like a group of 3 stay in camp and then a group of 3 go up and try to route set or head out in front, unless we were traveling on Flat Glacier. And when we made those teams, those rope teams, we would usually have one person with a ton of experience, and then like the experience would be tapered after that. So maybe one person with a lot less experience and then someone in the middle. And I think that keeps the people with a lot of experience in check and avoids complacency. And then it also helps. And also when you have a new person on board, they usually ask a ton of questions that you forget to think about if you've been doing it for a while.
Right.
And it's a huge learning opportunity. So I think that I personally felt like I went from a place where I could lead on a rope team and feel really confident taking anyone and being the first person on the rope team to being able to be the second person on that rope team coaching a novice or like someone who had a lot less experience.
Right.
And I felt like I had mastered the skill enough to give the reins to someone else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So to answer your question, no, it's like it's more of a fun trip, but I guess I do like the varied experience levels. I think that's important. And I hope that everyone feels like they can fall into some type of leadership role, and people usually do once they're out there.
Right. Do you have a vision for the group, Alaska Mountain Women as an entity? Is there a vision moving forward for where you would like to see the group go as a whole? Or is it more just like you kind of said, like, oh, it's just we're kind of a group of friends getting together and kind of just taking it year by year?
Right now, it's just a huge learning opportunity, I think, for me personally. And there's a lot of growth. Like, after the Stikine trip, after, like, going on the flight back, I was like, oh, man, everything else is going to be a disappointment for the near future, and that's okay, because that was really fun. So I think having another experience like that, and just, like, unpacking, and I'm super curious, because I guess I haven't really had any in-depth conversations recently about, with the other women, of, like, what they took away from it, so I'm curious to hear what they said. Yeah, I think for the near future, it's just a group of friends that want to climb things, and it's like a supportive environment that brings new women in.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you see the group turning into a more formal group in the future? Because I think it's interesting. There's essentially members who, like, there's some American Alpine Club grants coming in to support this trip, and I guess were those kind of attained individually from members, or are those kind of more for the team?
I would say individually they were obtained, but obviously, like, in this type of an expedition, it's a team, like anything right. that anyone does, like the, anything that anyone does ripples to the other people that they're connected with.
Right.
And last year I felt like I was more kind of, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get six women to be able to do this with me. It might be a stretch. And then this year it was like having, I felt like I had to close the door a little bit. I was like, I can't take more than eight people. And that was kind of, it was also pretty beautiful in a way because we like accomplished something.
Right.
And I think that rippled after that. And this year there's been more women who just like want to listen in on the calls mm-hmm. or like use the blog as a resource.
Right.
And that, yeah. And I think like Sophie's writing this blog about like feminine hygiene in the outdoors. And I like was just trying to Google, trying to help her find resources beforehand. And I was like, oh yeah, there's like nothing out there yeah. really. So I think it's unfolding in ways that I wasn't expecting it to. Like, honestly, yeah, it's a little bit selfish. Like, it's just like, I want to go on this really fun trip. But I think it's becoming more than that.
Hit down on the highway. I'm staying in the lines. I know you're out.
All right, well, thanks for hanging out with me today. I hope you got as much out of the Alaska Mountain Women stories as I did, and I hope you can apply some of their wisdom and knowledge to your next trip in the mountains. If you want to learn more about the Alaska Mountain Women group and what they're up to, you can check them out online at akmountainwomen.blogspot.com. They're also on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to support their upcoming trip, they've got a GoFundMe going on as well. So make sure and check that out. Don't forget to leave a review for The Fern Line on Apple Podcasts or from within your favorite podcast app. And if you want to continue to support this show from the ground up, you can do that over at patreon.com/thefernline. All right. Well, until next time, everyone, I'm Evan Phillips, and this is The Fern Line.